You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast, season 13, episode 2. I'm John, I'm your host for tonight, and this is the Premiership preview part 2. So we have got fans from the clubs who were in the bottom six last year, with the exception of Livingston, unfortunately. And we have a change in Dundee, with Dundee replacing Dundee United. So I'll introduce the fans first of all. We have Laurie representing Kilmarnock, him returning from the end of season podcast last year.
It's good to be back on. I mean, hopefully, Kelly have a bit more of a comfortable season this year, but time will tell.
Time will tell. And much as like guys can't see this podcast, I should say I'm glad you never turned up in your Elton John outfit today.
Yeah, so you know, if you would like to see what John is calling the Elton outfit, just go to my Instagram. So at laurie.finlayson, has got a handle right there. It's a retro Kelly goalie top. So retro Kelly goalie top from the 90s. As many Kelly fans call it, the Bobby Geddes top. And I've got like a pair of like cheap sunglasses and the cowboy hat on. And yeah, I do kind of look like Elton. Now that you've said that, I can't unsee it.
No worries. Returning again, who is no stranger to the podcast, been on a few of these. Ross from the County Corner, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, John. Thank you for having me back on. And it's nice to be on part two. This is the main event of the Premiership previews, and all the wee teams were out the way in the first week, and everyone's focused on part two and the teams remaining. So, yeah.
Well, we've got the big spending clubs in this part of the podcast, haven't we?
Ah, you're telling me. I see.
So, joining us as well, we have Stephen, Motherwell fan. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good to have you on.
Good to be here.
And also as well for yourself, obviously you're from a Different View podcast as well. So if people want to follow that, give it a wee follow. I see you've got a nice new sign as well.
Hi, I had Different View. It's all one word on YouTube. You can get us at a Diff View Scott on Twitter and Instagram. And we've got more content after the bit of 6 month break coming out this week. So we'll be starting back up again this week. So it's good to be back.
Aye, good stuff. Representing St Johnston, we have Alan. How are you doing?
Hi there, thanks for having me on. Hoping this will be quite a cathartic experience for me after the... I feel exhausted already. The season's only 4 games old, but I'm already quite tired of it. So hopefully this will cheer me up a bit, hopefully.
I'm sure everyone will take it quite easy on you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Maybe the Knicks fan in particular might take it especially easy on you. Liam, Dundee fan, how you doing?
Yeah, fine, thanks. I'm just hoping Dundee could stop being a yo-yo club this season, to be honest. We've been up and down a lot over the last few years, and hopefully this will be the year we could actually stay up.
Aye, well, fingers crossed for yourself. Right, so what we'll do is we'll kick off. We've got a few things we want to discuss. So we're going to kind of talk about some of the kind of best signings that have been made in terms of your kind of clubs, where you think your team still needs to strengthen. Predictions for the season ahead, which are always interesting. We usually do a wee review at mid-season and see whether you want to kind of stick or twist for that. What you think in terms of maybe kind of top scorer for your clubs. How pre-season has went so far. And then maybe if there's any kind of youngsters in particular to watch out for that might have a breakout season. I know one fan in particular will probably be waxing lyrical about a certain player that's been getting a lot of headlines pre-season. So actually, we'll maybe start off there. We'll start off with Motherwell, actually, in the moment, Stephen. So, in terms of kind of signings so far, there's been 4 signings so far.
Yeah.
So, was it Suárez, Wilkinson, Obika, and is it Zabrowski?
Zabrowski.
Right, thank you for that one. So, a wee bit of business, couple of strikers in, obviously big losses in terms of Van Veen and Johnston. So what are you kind of thinking in the business so far that Motherwell have done?
I'm getting into the season. I'm optimistic in a sense that we've done well in the League Cup group stage, but I still look at the squad and I think that we're very, very thin up front. Connor Wilkinson, he got a bad head knock the weekend. I don't know if you go on to Motherwell's Twitter at the minute, they put up a video the day and he's got an absolute shiner of a black eye. But so hopefully he's fit for them. big league opening on Saturday against Dundee, but I'd like to see his sign maybe. Kettlewell was identified that he needs another two strikers. I still think we need cover in the right back position and another centre half. So I think we're a wee bit thin as a squad going into the season.
I mean, the big one, obviously, and everyone will probably be asking you this already, but Van Veen, how do you replace his goals? Because if you look at Abika, you look at Wilkinson, you look at Effort, none of them have, I don't think, hit double figures in our season.
No, well, I mean, Wilkinson, I think he had a lot of injury issues last year, so I think it's about getting him fit. Abika, as you say, you'll be lucky if you get 6 to 10 goals a season out of him. And again, Joe Effort can't stay fit. So I think we really need to hope that the next couple of strikers that Kettlewell has identified can make up for the gap that Van Veen has left. Because I don't think that one man is going to be able to replace the goal tally that he got last season, 29. So, no, it's going to take a lot of people chipping in. Thankfully, I think we're okay in midfield, but we need everybody to be going, singing for the same hymn sheet.
When you're kind of talking about kind of areas of strength as well, right back, obviously Johnson's left. You've got McGinn and O'Donnell there, but you'd still like to see someone else in there.
Yeah, I'd still like to see someone because I think the way we play at the minute is almost kind of like a 5-2 at times. So McGinn's been deployed in that right centre-back role quite a lot. So I would like to see us maybe get someone in on loan, a full-back in on loan maybe for somebody down south, like we did with James Furlong last season, who came in and did absolutely fantastic the second half of last season. But I'd like to see us replace the gap that's been left with Max Johnson. And I think that's should be a sign a club of what to do moving forward, because we've let his contract run out and we can't afford to let that happen again in the future, because we should have been getting a lot of money for that boy. He's only went for 300,000, a development fee.
Aye, that's definitely a big frustration for a lot of clubs in Scotland, that they struggle to get players, young players in particular, tied down a decent contract, and it's usually down south that they go for peanuts. But at least it's refreshing to see another player going abroad and testing themselves out, not going for the tried and tested going down south.
No, I agree. I think you can see it's worked for the likes of Lewis Ferguson going to Bologna. It worked really well for Aaron Hickey, who's another fullback. So he's going to be playing, or the chance to play in the Champions League. It's done gratis this year. And listen, I wish him nothing but the best. I'm really excited about what he can do maybe in a Scotland jersey in the coming years, because I do think he's that good. A lot of people that aren't the Motherwell fans might not know exactly how good he is, but he's certainly somebody that we should be watching out for. I mean, we're no short with Scotland in full-back areas, but it's always good to have another option.
Aye, definitely. I think we were joking towards the end of last season that Scotland might just be better off playing a full team of fullbacks.
No, definitely.
We have in there. Just about the other guys in there quickly, what do you guys think of Motherwell signings so far?
Unsure so far, because obviously speaking from, I guess, experience going into last season, we lost a lot of goals in Charles Cook, Hungbo and Spittle especially. That was like, I think it was like 27 goals or something. And we never replaced them. So it was difficult enough to replace three players who scored that many goals, never mind just one. And I think for teams like ourselves in the bottom six, it's always really, really difficult to, when you lose such a talisman like Van Veen, to then go and get a direct replacement. It's never going to happen. So you're then hoping to try and pick out a gem somewhere, and I guess hoping that they step up, or the guys that you've already got can, you know, take a bit more, you know, weight on their shoulders and step up themselves. So honestly, it's tricky to say. I mean, obviously there was the rumours as well, I think last week, of Theo Bear being linked with Motherwell as well, and the lad from Arsenal. I don't know if there was anything more that came with that, but I wouldn't say I've been really impressed with them so far, but I think, you know, they've always got the potential to Motherwell to go and get a couple of decent players kind of out of nowhere, as we saw in January and February with the likes of Dan Casey, and they turn out to be gems. So it's possible. It's obviously just, it's tricky.
Yeah,
if not, can I just come in there? Is the Theo Bear story, is that accurate? Because I'm very, very surprised to see Theo Bear linked with a top flight club, I have to be honest. He's not very good, in my opinion.
Well, I think you're just as surprised as me, Alan, to see that Motherwell were linked with Theo Bear. I don't want that one to happen.
I mean, I just thought it was one of these daft rumours. I didn't realise it actually had any substance to it, to be
honest. I don't know if it does, but it's Twitter at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, so, well, exactly. Or X, as it's known now, of course.
Don't even start me with that.
Aye, it's an interesting one. I'm pretty sure there'll be a lot of business still done at Motherwell. I would think so. There'll be still a lot of business done at a lot of clubs. A club that's not short of strikers, Ross, your team in particular, just go heavy, aren't you?
Seem to be. I mean, we've got a decent goal scoring record so far in the League Cup. Obviously, it's always tricky to tell when it's against lower league opposition, but signing Brophy on a permanent deal, I think, is a really good bit of business. I know there was a lot of uproar from other fans when it was stated we paid like a six-figure fee, and I can understand that, I guess, from the point of view that he had his injury issues at St Mirren and at time at Kilmarnock as well. But I think the investment is we're not purchasing a striker who's unknown to the group and to the club as well. I mean, when he came up in January, he scored 3 goals and 2 assists in the 8 games. And then picked up the injury against St Johnstone, which ended the season. I think if he hadn't picked up that injury, I don't think we would have been in the playoffs. I think we would have had enough to potentially get 10th, or I don't know, just the way it might have worked out. So getting him up here on a permanent deal is, I'm really excited by it. He formed a really good partnership with Jordan White when he first came up here. So if that can continue, brilliant. Simon Murray started on fire as well with 6 goals in the League Cup group stages, so hopefully that form carries into the league as well. It's just a shame that we've got the toughest test of them all to kick off the campaign. But no, overall, like, our whole summer business so far, I think it's been really impressive. One player that's kind of went under the radar a little bit that we signed was James Brown from Blackburn Rovers. In the games that I've seen him in so far, he's been excellent, a really energetic right back, and his deliveries into the box are really dangerous. So I think, depends how we line up, whether it's a 4 at the back or 5 at the back. I think if it's a 5, he's suited down to that wing-back role, down to a T. I mean, you know, just talking about Motherwell there and losing Max Johnson, I think he's that kind of full-back or wing-back. So, I'm optimistic for the season. I think we could still bring in a couple, mainly one or two centre-halves maybe, just because the only two experienced centre-halves that we've got just now at the club are Jack Baldwin and Will Nightingale, who arrived on loan just a couple of weeks ago as well. So just to give them a bit more depth there, obviously there's Dylan Smith, who broke through last season and played a handful of games, and Ben Paddington and Connor Rando who can fit in at centre-backs if you're playing a back three, you know, either the left or right-hand side of the back three. So, no, it's been good. It's got me very optimistic for the upcoming season. So,
yeah, I mean, if you look at your signing so far, so you've got the return of Josh Reid, young player who obviously had a good start at Ross County. He went digs down, maybe not worked out as he wanted to, but that kind of adds kind of depth. Jay Henderson, good signing. You mentioned Brophy. I mean, I can't believe you didn't say that. I feel good about the James Brown signing. That's like a tap in.
He had that song playing when he scored on Saturday, and I think it's followed him around whenever he's gone. I think it's just like one of these ones that's just like, yeah, it just follows him everywhere.
Kyle Turner, who I think people are maybe surprised it went to Ross County, maybe they'll say the Central Belt. I think that could be a really good signing. You've got Allardyce, obviously, from Inverness, and then the boys Sheaf as well, like an all permanent signings. That's the good thing to think about Ross County's business. Most of it has been permanent signings. We look at a lot of clubs, and I mean, Laurie will probably kind of mention this when he kind of speaks, but Kilmarnock made an awful lot of loan signings last season. And I think if you want to kind of try and build something and get some continuity, stay in the league, maybe even have higher ambitions than that, having permanent signings, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was one of Malky's kind of first statements when he joined the club, is that in the first transfer window, I think we signed, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was a big amount of loan players that came into the club. And then last summer, it then reduced down a bit again. And then this summer, it looks to be kind of doing the same. The loan market is always very good to tap into. If you can get a gem from that, then it's great. They come up and perform, and you know, they can use the club as a stepping stone, and if they can fire the club to a bit of success as well along the way, then brilliant. But yeah, getting players in on permanent deals just gives the squad a bit more stability. Like, I think there's a really decent core group of players there before, you know, the eight guys came in so far. You know, okay, last season it didn't quite work out. You know, I think it was just fine margins in a lot of games. You know, I don't think there was many games that we actually lost by more than a single goal. I can't really remember that many proper doings. You know, there was the one at Tynecastle right before the split, the one against Motherwell at the start, towards the start of the season in Dingwall, and then Rangers at Ibrox in October. But there was never anything that, like, we were getting hit for 3, 4, 5 on a consistent basis. And I think the goal scoring was just our biggest issue the first half of the season. But then the change to the 3-5-2 and Brophy coming in, Murray coming in, really helped. So it's a really good group of players that have come in. I think they're hungry to prove themselves as well. Like, so Turner and Allardyce spent a couple years in the Championship, and they want to prove themselves as Premiership players. Jay Henderson is one that I'm really excited about. I mean, he really kind of burst onto the scene at St Mirren. He scored a couple of crackers against Dundee United the season before last, and then spent last season on loan at Cali, did really well there. I mean, my mates that are Cali fans were giving him rave reviews as well. And his dad played for the club just over 20 years ago as well, which is quite an interesting link there too. So he's one that I think we're really excited on. He's got a lot of potential as well. And like Sashif, he's a guy that's come up from Redditch, has had a really good season down there, and is one that's got potential. You know, George Harmon came in last summer, and no one expected him to have the season that he had. You know, Ben Parrington broke his ankle against Dundee United in October. And then from that point on, George was the mainstay left-back for the rest of the season. So, it's been good. And it's been nice to get the business done early as well. I think that's another point I'd like to make, is that, you know, at times where we are still trying to bring in big numbers towards the end of July, whereas this time we've got a lot of the business done early and the squad settled, hopefully, for the start of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Laurie, you want to come in?
Yeah, just again, Ross, it's to credit Ross County, as you've all been saying about the importance of permanent deals and getting the business done early. As you were saying about my club, Kilmarnock, obviously having a bit of a kind of dodgy record, shall we say, in the loan market, and then over reliance on it. This is maybe cliche, but I feel like with loans, the key is where it can be avoided. Don't just loan in fringe players or squad players. That's the trap Kelly fell into. You loan in guys who you couldn't sign otherwise. You know, don't use it to pad out the squad. I mean, Kelly did that last year with a boy, Deji Sitona, his name was, signed from Nice. There was a lot of hype around him, or loan from Nice, because at one point he was classed as the fastest player at Man United. The guy played probably not even a full 90 minutes of football for the first team, and then headed back to France in January, randomly signed for Burnley, I think it was. Must have been some, like, development deal. But, you know, just don't waste loans. Make them worthwhile, and make them guys who improve your team where possible.
I agree on that too. And I think Malky spoke on that the other day or last week, that the players that he's got on the bench now are just as good as the players that he's taken off the pitch, you know, and that squad depth is really important. I think, as you said, Laurie, you don't want players coming in just to be squad fillers. You want them to, when they get their opportunity, to go and make an impact. So, yeah, look, the loan markets worked really well for us in the past. Like, two seasons ago, we liked Harry Clark for the first half of the season, Joe Hungbo, Jake Volkins, Ashley Maynard Brewer. That season, we got the top six. It worked brilliantly for us. Whereas then, the start of last season, it didn't quite work as well. Awuda's form, he started off really well, but maybe it was just a lack of confidence as the season went on. He was kind of in and out of games, had a couple of red cards. And then in January, obviously made the most of it with taking Brophy in on loan, Noah and Kenny in on loan. Gwion Edwards and Josh Stones in on loan, and all four of them played a part towards the end of the season. So it shows that when you get it right, you can really get it right, but when it doesn't go that well, it's not great for the player, the club he's on loan at, or the parent club, because neither of the three are happy. So
yeah, it's basically a lose-lose situation, really, when that happens. And just as you quickly mentioned it on Eamon Brophy, if you keep him fit, you've got a good striker, but if you don't, it's just a lot of work for your medical department. I mean, fingers crossed for you guys that he stays fit, but the thing is, if he was fitter, he would probably be at a top six club. I'm not going to say who or anything, but, you know, just hopefully that's behind him now.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the exact same. The injury he picked up towards the end of last season, he tore his thigh, so it was a really bad injury. And he's pretty much just been coming back to full fitness during pre-season. He just got his first minutes there on Saturday against Kelty. So, look, quality of player, he's right up there. But as he said, obviously the injury issues have been there in the past. But, you know, if he can get past them, I think County, for a low six-figure fee, you know, everyone talks about trying to chase a 20-goal season striker. That's one right there, potentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if things go really well, hits the ground running, you know, stays injury-free, scores a barrel load of goals, a Scotland recall could be on the cards. You wouldn't necessarily rule that out. So that might be a point that Malky's put across him. I know he put that across to James Brown when he signed, that, you know, Jamie McGrath did really well, the Dundee United squad, got into the Republic of Ireland team and kind of has been in and out of their squad since. So he said the same thing to James Brown: come up, play football consistently, you know, form at a decent level and you'll get international recognition. And that's what you get with the Scottish top flight.
Stephen, you want to come in?
Sorry, just getting used to the unmuting thing there. Yeah, but no, I'm just wanting to highlight, Ross, what do you think about the importance of getting your business done early? Because that's something that's worrying me when I look at us, is the fact that we're sitting here with, 5 days till the season starts, and we've only really got two strikers fit. Well, maybe even one, if Wilkinson isn't fit, and the other one left is Mark Ferry. And it shows you as well how quickly football can change. Ross County, probably about 20 minutes for being in the Championship, and there you look at the squad, and I'd imagine you'd be feeling pretty optimistic about the season ahead.
Yeah, I think there's definitely pros and cons to getting your business done early. I think, you know, the pros that are, if you get the right players in early and settle them in, your squad could be very settled for the start of the league season while, you know, the teams around you are still trying to do a lot of their business, settle in their new players, and, you know, you could potentially get a head start on them. Then the other side of that is, if you get a lot of your business done early, you know, could you be signing the right type of player and the right character? You know, is this person going to be in the long term the right fit for the squad, both on the pitch and off the pitch? So there's definitely, I can definitely see both sides to it. I think the type of characters that they have signed so far as well, like, so James Brown was a captain over in Ireland for Drogheda United. Will Nightingale's captained Wimbledon over the years. Brophy's a Scotland international, Malky knows him well. Jay Henderson's gone through the Scotland youth teams. You know, I think it's just about the characteristics off the pitch just as much as the ability on the pitch these days in football. And I think that's what I think County are trying to build in that sense. But you're right in saying that literally 20 minutes to go against Partick, we were getting ready for the Championship. I didn't think I was going to be doing a Premiership preview this season. I thought I was going to be just sat at home listening to it, thinking, oh, well, that could have been us. And literally within those 20 minutes, that I've already mentioned it, we've spoken about it loads on the podcast, but that's one of the best comebacks I've witnessed in football. And I'll be a bit biased in saying that, but it's the potential in the aftermath of that for the club to use that as a slingshot for success going into the future. Like, so the season ticket sales, there's been something like a 23.5% increase in season ticket sales this season compared to last season, which shows that, like, perhaps finishing 11th going into the playoff was the best thing that could happen. You know, it generates interest. You know, people think, wow, that was crazy. That must be great to be, you know, get a season ticket. I'll go and do that. It must be like that every game, where it's not. But, you know, people think along that way. And that then allows that investment into the club then allows the club to invest on the pitch as well, which we've seen with likes of the fees for Brophy, for Henderson and his development fee, and you know, attracting the a quality of player. So yeah, it's the potential from the part of Gwynn to slingshot the club further up the table. And I think with one or two more signings, I think we'll have a decent season. I would like to think we'll be comfortably away from the relegation scrap. And if we can get the last one or two signings right, I wouldn't rule us out maybe pushing for a top six place or being in the scrap for it. Not necessarily getting it, but being in amongst it.
Liam, you want to come in?
Yeah, just wanted to say, regarding the loans, that's one thing that worries me about Dundee this season is 6 hour 11 signings are loan signings, and they're all players that's not had really much experience at top level up here or Scottish football, bar one or two. It is just a worry, and I hope it does work out for us.
I think, I mean, the couple of seasons past, like, Joe Hungbo hadn't had I think it was his second loan spell that he was out at, and I think the first loan spell was like in the National League, I want to say National League North or South in England, and he adapted well. Harry Clark, I think it was his second or third loan spell, hadn't played Scottish top flight, worked well. And, you know, then last season, like I said, Awuda got off to a flying start and then, you know, fell away a wee bit. Same with Kazim Alagbe, who came in the start of last season as well. So it can be really hit or miss. So yeah, it's difficult to tell until like you're about 10, 15 games into the season to see how they're kind of getting on. So
yeah, it's just the more unknown of not knowing what you're getting, and especially being young players and not bringing in experience. We've not really brought in a lot of experience apart from Joe Shaughnessy. It's a lot of young guys, and we already had quite a young team as well. So it is quite worrying in that regard. But hopefully if they can do well, it'll keep us up this year.
Yeah, I get that too. I think the only then worry about the loans is that if they are successful, it then makes it even harder to make the deal permanent because their parent club will want them back, you know, to continue their development, or they might see a bigger sell-on price to a different club or anything like that. Like, I would have loved Joe Hongbo to be in Dingwall again last season, but, you know, Watford saw him as part of their squad for the first half of the season, and then he was out on loan at Huddersfield for the second half of last season. So, yeah, there's definitely pros and cons to it. So
that's why they say never fall in love with a lone player.
Definitely.
See, from your point of view, though, Liam, when you talk about lone players, Robinson's obviously returned from being on loan last year, so that's a good sign. In terms of like other players, maybe kind of see that, you know, think, right, it's a good place to come on loan, and then you never know what happens.
Yeah, I think Robinson was one we didn't expect to get back. I thought that would have been the end of what we've seen when he left us after winning the championship, but I think he's good enough to at least get us probably about 8 to 10 goals this year. He's already scored 3 goals in his last 2 games, fair enough, against lower opposition, but he's definitely a player that knows where the goal is.
Aye. I caught some of the game yesterday, and Bakayoko looked as if he was quite lively as well, I thought.
Yeah, that was the first time seeing Bakayoko. He definitely looks a handful. I think Dundee have been missing a striker like that for a few years, but I know he didn't do very well at Forest Green last year.
Under big Duncan Bergson, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
I mean, if you look at your signings, obviously you mentioned Shaughnessy earlier. You've signed a couple of boys from Mexico, so was it Portales and Pineda? I loved Ethan's commentary when Pineda scored.
yeah, that was good.
Some nice bit of work. If you've not heard that, then check it out. He goes for a bit of Spanish. Tiffany, who obviously was really good at Partick Thistle last year, and then maybe a bit of a wild card with the boy Riley as well.
Yeah, so in regards to Tiffany was one that really excited me, but pretty much in all of our pre-season games and cup games, he's not really lived up to the hype, which is a bit worrying. And Charlie Riley, we've not seen him at all. He picked up a knock when we came back to pre-season training, and we're still yet to see him even make it on the subs bench.
Aye, right, we've some good news. We thought we weren't going to have a Livingston fan on, but Ewan, I believe, is pulling double duty here tonight. So good to see you, Ewan. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Apologies for arriving late. I double booked myself, so I've just came from Glasgow, so managed to get here in time to join in. But obviously just kind of catching up, and Liam's obviously chatting about Dundee, and you mentioned Scott Tiffany. Scott Tiffany was on the books with ourselves for 3 years when we signed him from Greenock Morton, and I felt there's always been a player in there with Tiffs, and he probably didn't get the opportunity with ourselves, and the best thing he ever did was go to Partick Thistle, because he was playing week in, week out, and I think you've got potentially a very good player on your hands. But kind of, I think Dundee are a bit of a wild card this season. I really don't know what to expect. Obviously, a couple of boys coming in from Mexico and things like that. The biggest football daft people in the world wouldn't be able to tell you who these guys are or kind of their backgrounds and things like that. So I think they're a bit of a wild card, I have to say.
Yeah, the two Mexicans definitely look like that they could be decent players for us from what I've seen. I've only seen them twice. But they definitely look like they could do a job for us this season, I hope.
Any idea how you managed to kind of get those players in? Like, where's that link come from? It's an interesting one, a bit different to a lot of the other clubs.
So I believe our owners, being American, have got a link to Mexico.
Right, okay.
And we were able to set up a scouting department over there. So initially, we brought in Antonio Portales, and we basically said to him, look, who's the hardest striker you've came up against this season? And he said Diego Pineda. So we've signed him off the back of recommendation.
Okay. And maybe they've been given like the equivalent of a black card, like Fernando's for Rancho Pancho.
Yeah, possibly.
In terms of loan signings as well, though, Boateng, who was at Aaron loan, wasn't it, last year? He did pretty well. Queen's Park, so it was. So he could be a good signing as well.
Yeah, every time I seen him against Dundee last year, he was always a player that stood out to me. That would be a good signing. The games I've seen him as well, he's looked good. He's a physical presence in the midfield, but I just feel we lack experience in the midfield. It is a very young midfield.
Aye. So if you're looking at areas to strengthen midfield up front as well still?
Yeah, I would say we probably need two centre midfielders in, and I would say a right back as well, just for cover.
Okay, fair enough. We'll try and kind of mix this podcast around, like having a bit of optimism and then a wee bit of pessimism and then back to the optimism. So, Alan, I'll come to you, St Johnstone. I mean, if we're talking about signings,
it won't take us very long to go through this.
A wee bit slow off the mark again this season in terms of signings. I remember last summer, and I'm pretty sure when we did the preview podcast last season, we were talking about St Johnstone being slow off the mark. We've signed two players, goalkeeper and a striker.
We're always quite slow off the mark, but even more so this season. We got rid of 17 players left at the end of last season, so that's obviously a substantial number, but the squad was far too big. Davidson's squad was far too big. He was given free rein to build that squad, and he just kept signing player after player, and he was trying to fill holes, and it was far too big, so we did have to get rid of players. So that's the correct approach, and I'm glad Davidson isn't there signing the players again, because that didn't work. In fact, if we'd kept Davidson, I think we probably would have got relegated, so that was the correct decision. We've only signed two players. There's a third that's meant to have signed but hasn't been announced yet, which is a centre-half from Chelsea, Sam McClelland, who's just quite a young guy. He was on loan at Barrow last season, but that's a definite area we need to sign in. So we're far too slow off the mark. There's a lot of uncertainty at the club. We're up for sale. You know, it's the end of the Brown. The Browns are looking to sell the club. I mean, the Browns have owned the club the whole time I've supported St Johnstone. You know, that's, you know, well over 30 years. It's been the same owners. So there's a lot of uncertainties. I don't know if that's affecting the signings. What I would say, though, with regards to the two signings in particular, I'm quite happy with them. They're the right sort of profile of players. Guys have been touching on, I totally agree earlier on about the loans. You shouldn't get players on a loan. You try and get permanent deals. These guys have both signed two-year deals. One's a goalkeeper, quite highly regarded from Cambridge. Goalkeeper's an area we need to strengthen. We've now got arguably two quite decent goalkeepers with Ross Sinclair coming back for the loan at Montrose. And Luke Jeffcott, the striker's a bit of a more unknown, but he had a really good season at Plymouth a couple of seasons ago, and he's kind of went back the way since then. So he's a kind of profile of player I think we should be signing, but essentially there's not been enough signings and we're nowhere near ready to start the season, as has been proven in the League Cup group stages quite emphatically, sadly.
You look at the striker options, they're probably not bad at the moment, but I think your biggest problem would be, where's our creativity coming from?
There's a lot more. There's one of your questions and the thing you sent before was, what areas of the squad need strengthened? And to be honest, all of them really need strengthened. There is a lack of creativity. I think McLean's going to look at for Graham Carey to provide that. I don't think he was utilised correctly by Davis. He wasn't really playing his right, correct position. I think if you give him more of a sort of freer role with less defensive responsibility, he could possibly provide that creativity. Dre Wright was probably our best player last season, but again, he was wasted a bit at either right back or right wing back. So he's, I wouldn't say he's necessarily creative, but he's got a bit of pace and he can get to the byline and stuff. But no, you're right, there's a definite lack of creativity, especially with, you know, Wotherspoon's away. He's a, you know, club legend, but he's, you know, end of his time's come. He's away, Halberg's away, he offered a little bit of creativity. So there's a lack of creativity, but my biggest worry just now is defensively. I think I don't like any of our centre halves. You know, Andy Considine, obviously you'll have a lot of time for, but I think his, you know, his race is essentially run by now. I don't think he's got much left in the tank. Liam Gordon's the club captain. You know, he's a Saints fan. He's, you know, he's involved in both the cup wins, captain of the club. So should be rooting for him, but he's had a terrible start to the season and his form's really been quite poor for the last 18 months or so. So I'd say both of them really need replaced. I think we need to get back to being difficult to beat, first and foremost. I mean, we've lost 4-0 at home at Stirling Albion. There's no glossing over that result. Stirling Albion didn't even have to be that good to score their goals. It was fairly simple. They just cut through us in two set pieces and it's 4-0. So I'm really, really concerned about the defensive side of things, first and foremost. So I would start there and then build forward. You're saying we do have striking options, but one of them, Stevie May, who obviously I love, you know, again, a club legend, but as a bit hit or miss, he's very much a confidence player. He needs to be playing with a strike partner and feeding off him. That might be Jeff Cotter. There have been a few wee early signs, particularly the Aller away game. They linked up quite well. But other two strikers are Nicky Clark and Chris Kane. They're both injured and they very often are injured. So they're not options at the moment. So I think we're still a wee bit light there as well. So yeah, there's just problems everywhere, to be honest. So,
according to Finn in the podcast, I think, to be fair, like Stephen at Motherwell are talking about strikers. Most of their strikers are always injured. Gross, Brophy, generally injured. Your guys, yep. I mean, Stephen May, we know the injury problems that he's had in the past as well. And then Laurie is, or maybe going to mention even like Marley Watkins, who's joined them. He's kind of quite fond of the treatment table at times as well. A difficult one. But maybe for St Johnson's sake, is it can't get any worse.
That's what I'm kind of clinging to. I'm clinging to it. Can't get any worse. And I surely will be jolted into a wee bit of action this week. And I'm hoping we'll get a couple of more bodies through the door. But again, that's another day past and nothing's happened today. So, can't get any worse. I mean, I'm going to the Hearts game on Saturday with a bit of trepidation, to be honest. They're taking, as usual, quite a big support. And I'm kind of fearing the worst, but sometimes in those scenarios you'll get a result out of nowhere and it kind of all turns, but we definitely need a result just to turn things around, because it's pretty gloomy just now, to be honest.
Sorry, Hearts are rubbish. I mean, I know Hearts aren't on tonight, but we could just have a dig at them. Did you all see an interview with Naismith and McAvoy?
Yes.
I was at the one on Sky, was it?
Oh, I mean, it was cringeworthy. Like, one of the boys in the podcast chat, he said, oh, you need to have a look at this. Halfway through it, I had to turn off. The two of them were just dreadful, like trying to mask the fact that Naismith's the main man with McAvoy saying, yeah, I make all the final decisions, blah, blah, blah.
Naismith's technical director.
I would say if you get a chance, watch it, but you probably won't last much longer with it either. Laurie, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, so, I mean, Alan, I'm just going to sympathise with you a little bit. I mean, I feel like...
Thank you, Laurie. Thank you.
Probably quite a lot of us here, but Kelly, I feel like we've been in this scenario before where in the past, maybe not as much as now, we'll get into it later, but, you know, you think to yourself, where do we need to strengthen? Everywhere. And there's not one player where you go, they're a standout I mean, Kelly aren't in that scenario anymore, but in the past we definitely have been, so I really feel your pain. But I mean, losing 4-0 to Stirling Albion, I mean, come on, that's a new low. From Galatasaray to Stirling Albion within, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Just over 2 years, yes. actually, I mean, Kelly have actually signed a number of players that I would have liked us to sign, and I'm pretty sure we probably would have been in for certainly Robbie Dees, probably Stuart Finlay, and definitely Matty Kennedy. I know we're definitely in for Matty Kennedy, and they've chosen to go to Kilmarnock, which, you know, is fair enough, obviously. But so we have been in for these players. But I think we are trying, but it's quite difficult. McLean has said he won't sign players for the sake of it. He wants to sign players that will make us better, whereas Davidson absolutely did just sign players for the sake of it. So I agree with that approach, but we've left it far too late now, and we're just not prepared for the league season starting. Obviously, the other season was finished for us now. It's finished quite quickly.
Yeah, I think as you were saying about Kelly's recruitment, it's a prime example of St Johnson being slow. Like Robbie Dees, you said you would have taken him.
Yep.
We haven't signed him in a free contract, and Kelly are notoriously slow. So, I mean, the fact that Kelly are recruiting, quicker than you, that's got to be a worry.
It's a worry. I mean, we are notoriously slow. I don't think we've not got a particularly modern structure, I would say, but they're trying to sort that out. And I think because Davidson won the cup double, he's basically allowed to do whatever he wanted, and he had final say on all signings and just ended up signing anyone and everyone. So I think because we sacked him fairly late, then McLean wasn't appointed till quite late on. That has led to a delay, but he's been in charge a while now, and we really just need to get motoring. And hopefully by the end of the month, end of August, things are a bit brighter on the player recruitment front, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And you wanted to come in?
Yeah, as the designated fan for Budget FC, I can kind of feel Alan's pain a little bit in terms of, you were talking about, you know, a number of players that Davidson had brought in. I believe he's had something like 40 players on the books at one point, which club like St Johnstone's, ludicrous.
Yep.
And I can only imagine that this summer, I think probably part of the reason there's been a lack of transfer activity is because there's not the finances to do so, because you've had to go and try and shift these guys on. These guys don't leave for nothing, the vast majority of the time. But certainly, looking at the League Cup games, I mean, watching Stephen McLean as a player, and I'm sure you'd be able to have a better insight, but he was a bastard on the pitch is the best way I could describe him. And you'd like to think, you know, a lot of the time, a manager's team kind of reflects the player as well. So that's surely something you were mentioning there. You want the defence, you want to be kind of hard to beat again. And that is kind of probably what you'd expect McLean to go down that route of.
I love Steve McLean as a player. He's one of my favourite players of all time. And I know opposition fans didn't like him. And I think that that's a good thing. And he must have been hellish to play against. So I thought at the very minimum, he would get us playing in that sort of fashion. There was wee signs of that. Obviously, we were in quite a lot of pressure last season going into the Kilmarnock game, which we managed to win away from home, and we won it. So I thought that's a really good sign, you know, of the mentality McLean's installed into the team. But there's been no sign of that at all this season. Obviously, we lost the first game at Stenhouse Muir. You could say, you know, it's the first game, it's early on, you know, a bit rusty, we've lost. Then we've beaten Alloa. But the Ayr game, as soon as we went a goal behind, you know, the heads just dropped. And we did equalise, but then we went behind again, and there was just no sense we were going to get back into it. And that's no... So Johnston teams over the years, you know, they don't give up. They fight to the end, and that's what we're kind of used to. And you're right, I thought with McLean and, you know, Liam Craig's the assistant manager as well, that at the very least would have a battling, hard-to-beat team, but there's no sign of that at the moment. We just don't have the players to do that. I mean, you're right, we did have 40-odd players last season, so we had to get rid of a lot, but we could have got rid of probably more. There's guys still under contract that shouldn't be there. You know, Ali Crawford, players like that, we've given 2.5-year deals to, that shouldn't be there. So we could have got rid of them as well. There's just a lot of problems. And the financial thing you touched on, sorry, just to mention that as well, there's talk that we lost £2 million last season. That's meant to be the result. So you're right, that's definitely restricting who we can sign this season. Absolutely.
Ross, you wanted to come in?
Releasing 17 players in one summer is absolutely mental. And then mental for any club. And then you would think it would be like a big rebuild, like the players that would be coming in, it would be like a mass influx. But Alan, as you said there, because the squad was so bloated, you can't really do that. So that's a crazy situation to have at any football club. That's mental.
Yeah, it's been on the cards for a couple of years now. I think we were all kind of expecting this pain to happen. We've kind of plugged gaps for a couple of years, and then it's just happening. I mean, 17 players, quite a few of them were just people returning from loan and stuff as well. So it wasn't 17 signed players, but you're right, it's still a heck of a number in one summer to turn over. So I think initially when we got rid of these players, there wasn't anyone that we were kind of pining for leaving. Adam Montgomery was in on loan. He was really good. I'd really like to have kept him.
Yeah.
But he's joined Fleetwood on loan. And the obvious one's David Wallerspoon, who, you know, very biased, but he's the club legend. He's involved in the three trophy wins. But McLean's decided, you know, he's no longer got it, and he's no signed for anyone else, I've noticed yet. So that maybe indicates that he's maybe at the end of his career sort of thing. But yeah, far too, there's lots left and not enough signed, but not enough budget to do that. And I think we do have a number of young players that are promising, but I think we're expecting far too much of. They're not ready for the team yet, and that was proved against Stirling Albion emphatically.
I think it was quite interesting from a county point of view anyway, the games against St Johnstone last season. The four of them, so the first game of the season in Perth, it was just a battle. There was like a lack of quality from both teams. It wasn't for the neutral. The game in December, we should have been out of sight in that game before the red card. Yep. And the red card then swings it, and then the momentum builds. You guys get the two goals. And then you had a decent run of form, if I'm correct in saying, just after that, you picked up a few decent points.
We had quite a good run. We looked like we kind of turned a corner under Davis. And that game was a bit of a catalyst for that, but it wasn't sustained. We didn't sustain it, and we kind of reverted back to... I mean, the game you beat us 2-0 when you're talking Brophy got injured, you know, that was abysmal. Davison should have gone. There's a lot of points Davison should have gone at, but he should certainly have gone after that game, but he held on. Livingston beat us the following week, you know, so that's just... There was lots of points like that, though, last season.
To be honest, I thought the same. I couldn't believe how bad you guys were in that 2-0 game. And I looked at that point like you guys were kind of sleepwalking towards...
Yep.
A playoff spot, if not potential automatic relegation. So then the difference in the team that played in that game to the game, the 3-3 game in Dingwall, I don't know if there was maybe a bit more freedom because at that point safety was secured and things like that. Yeah. But there was such a big difference. Okay, you were winning 2-0, end up losing 3-2, but get the goal late on. But just the quality of play was so much different. So it looked like things were then potentially...
Yeah, that gave us a bit of optimism, that McLean had changed something. But I don't know. It's just because it was the last game of the season, and they maybe played with a bit of freedom. I don't know. But
and then to have that League Cup campaign was just like the result on Saturday is just incredible. Like every Premiership team has stumbled in the groups. Like with Airdrie being the only team that's won all four matches, it shows that how difficult it is during like pre-season to kind of get up to speed, and these results can happen, but. And none as emphatic as that. Like, that was just... I couldn't believe it when the scores were coming in. Like, checking BBC Sport and seeing, like, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0.
You can stumble in these games and, you know, there was nothing in it for us. There's nothing to play for, whereas Stirling, you know, could get through if they won. So, and I saw a lineup. I did kind of think, well, we might lose 1-0 in this game. Like, I could potentially see that. But the manner of it was ridiculous, really. I mean, I was almost laughing when the third goal went in. I just, you know, didn't know how to... react. It was just very bizarre.
We'll move on just now on to Kilmarnock. So maybe slightly happier times in terms of signings, because I know I've had conversations with yourself, Laurie, off air, and Ross as well. Kilmarnock arguably have had maybe the best transfer window out of all the teams in the league so far.
Well, you could say that. I mean, I've seen on Twitter or whatever you're supposed to call it now, X or whatever, I've seen on there that even some top six fans seem kind of impressed with our transfer window, and I've been pretty, you know, chuffed with it as well. Granted, we have taken a few gambles on players. Of course, Kyle McGuinness is going to be a huge gamble. Great, good player, but bit of a gamble with the injuries. But in terms of players who have, you know, seen a bit more of in the past, Matty Kennedy, of course, coming back for a second spell because he, of course, came through at Kelly. He's started really well. Kind of gutted that he's not managed to get on the score sheet, to be honest.
Doesn't score often, or he didn't at Aberdeen anyway. Alan, you maybe have fonder memories of him at St Johnson.
Well, he was only at us for 18 months, but I was very good for 18 months. I was quite upset when he left, but obviously didn't really feature properly for Aberdeen. I don't think he didn't really play in his correct position, really. We kind of played him in a freer kind of role, and he was very good at that, I felt. So I'd happily had Kennedy back as an example of player to sign.
Yeah, the only problem with or potential problem with Matty Kennedy, and you mentioned it on the last on the Top Six podcast, John, is Derek McInnes will probably shove him at wing back, you know, and that's going to happen.
I know it's already, but it seems to be a trend because you've been doing it with Armstrong and Kennedy. I'm trying to think who else it was I noticed in the league that was doing it.
We've done it with Fraser Murray as well. You probably remember the game against Celtic last season where he cost us two goals.
Yes.
Fraser Murray got shoved at wing back for some reason, having not started the game since January and was playing pretty much exclusively in the reserve league. He was brought in to start against Celtic for no apparent reason whatsoever. And then, yeah, but back onto recruitment. We'll leave Derek's tactics for later. On the recruitment, I mean, Deez has been solid so far. Stuart Finlay, getting him back, that's just a brilliant bit of business. I don't care that that's a loan deal. But that's an example of using a loan well, getting someone who can improve your squad. And we've done it as well with Corey Nadaba, his name is, a young centre-back, stroke left-back from Ipswich. Again, started really well, being comfortable on the ball. The only real kind of player who hasn't looked too great so far is Will Dennis, a young goalkeeper that we brought in on loan from Bournemouth. Everyone expects him to be the number two, but I still expect him to back up. But he's started all League Cup games, didn't look particularly great against Raith Rovers, or from what I've seen of Saturday's game against Albion Rovers. Like, for the penalty shootout against Raith, all the penalties went the same way, and he still didn't save a single one. But this is a young goalkeeper with like no disrespect, no pedigree whatsoever. The only level he's really played at is like the Vanarama leagues down south. So Slough Town was one of the teams that he's played for.
Could Levy score a penalty into him?
I think he's good, you, and I think he's good. I mean, it was a bit like, I don't know if any of you have seen this. If we had the St Mirren final, they would know. When we had Colin Doyle in goal a couple of years ago, it was a Scottish Cup game, and it was the same thing. He didn't move for the penalties, and Livy could definitely score a penalty into him. But he's not great. However, we do have Kieran O'Hara, who was a goalkeeper who's got a couple of caps for the Republic of Ireland and came through at Man United, has played for Burton and a few teams in the EFL. He's sat on the bench so far. Rumour has it he's carrying a knock. I kind of hope that he is, and we're not just playing this young goalkeeper because we have to, type thing. Because O'Hara would make a lot more sense to put in goal than what Will Dennis has been. But other than that, we've been, recruitment-wise, we've been solid. League Cup-wise, not bad, of course. If we hadn't lost that penalty shootout to Raith Rovers, we'd have been seeded, and then we'd have got a much better draw than what we got.
And you're forgetting you've got Lewis Mayo now on a permanent basis as well after him being on in loan.
Yeah, true. I totally forgot about that. And I mean, that's a good point to raise because we've paid a six-figure sum for Mayo, and it's not like us to pay fees at all, which is why I'm sometimes jealous of teams like Ross County putting six-figure sums on both Brophy and Henderson, of course. Henderson as well, of course, having links to Ayrshire himself. But yeah, like, it's great that we seem to be in a position to do that, and fair play to the board. Hopefully they're back and can push us a little further up the table this season.
Alan, you wanted to go in?
I was just going to ask Laurie, obviously Tony Docherty's left Kilmarnock now, and he's been, you know, assistant to Derek McInnes for a long time. I mean, back to, you know, when they started managing with us, actually. Has he been replaced at Kilmarnock, because it's just be quite interesting to see if that affects McInnes's management. Obviously, they've been a duo for quite a long time. If that affects the dynamic or anything like that at the club.
Yeah, so it has a wee reshuffle, or when I say wee reshuffle, quite a major reshuffle by Derek standards. So Paul Sheeran has now promoted up to assistant, which is the kind of obvious choice. But Alan Archibald has came in as a first-team coach, which seems a good appointment and a good bit of management experience, of course, with Partick. And he's his coach role at Motherwell recently, I think. Is that right, Stephen? Was Alan Archibald?
Yeah, there? No, he was.
And Craig Clark, who was the under-18s manager at Kelly, has now been promoted up into the first-team setup. Whilst Chris Burke takes the 18, so yeah, we've had a wee reshuffle there, and hopefully we can do well without Doherty's influence. I mean, our loss is perhaps Dundee's gain.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how he does there. Obviously, on his own.
One thing you can be sure of, I would think, with Doherty, and probably not already in the group stages, much as Dundee never went through, Dundee will probably try and make him as hard to beat as possible. Defensively, I think they'll be pretty good, but in terms of kind of scoring goals, I think that's going to be the kind of biggest issue to begin with. Ross, you want to come in?
Yeah, it's an interesting point you make, Laurie, on the, well, first of all, the League Cup groups, because as I already mentioned, Airdrie were the only team that won all four matches, whereas last season, apparently shootout cost us a seeded place, and we were drawn at home to Celtic, whereas our result on Saturday, had we won in 90 minutes, or even the penalty shootout, the way that the draw could have potentially worked, we'd have had an all-premiership side either, I think, at home to Livingston or away to Motherwell. So, you know, the seedings can work definitely in your favour, or they can't. They can just do the total opposite. But interesting point you make on Mayo and paying transfer fees, because one thing that I noticed, especially from a county point of view, was obviously the reaction to the deals, especially for Henderson and Brophy, and the reaction from other fans of Scottish football questioning county paying that money. Whereas when Killy paid the six-figure fee for Mayo, it seemed very quiet. There wasn't really kind of any mention of it. And I don't know if that was potentially because of the... It was the same day that the club announced that they hadn't lost any revenue by shutting Celtic and Rangers out of... Well, just into one stand. Am I right in saying that news came out the same day or the day before?
Right. I think that did make it go a bit more quietly. I mean, and it shouldn't have went quietly. I think when you say right, Ross, I mean, you have had a fair bit of coverage around paying the fees. I don't see why we haven't. But I think we were helped by our managing director bringing out that report. And of course, there was quite a lot in that report. It's actually a 30-pager, but the only thing that was ever focused on by the media was the fact that we've not lost any income by halving the Old Firm allocation. Albeit from a personal standpoint, and I know, Stephen, you'll totally understand this, the fact that allocation was halved, it really helped me and a load of the disabled supporters, because you used to have the Kelly supporters in wheelchairs were kind of in a kind of dugout effectively. You can probably explain this better, Stephen, kind of dugout effectively, or post box, I think you call it.
Yeah.
And then obviously you had the Celtic Rangers fans behind. Of course, that's now changed. We're on like a raised platform, but it helps bring Kelly fans back to the games. And if we don't lose any income from it, that's great. But back on the Lewis Mayo thing, you know, it probably should have had a bit more coverage behind it, considering you've got some unfair coverage about being able to spend money on players. A little bit jealous of it, but you're not going to complain, are you?
No, definitely not. And I think obviously part of that coverage did come from the comments, you know, post playoff final with the, I think Roy spoke about some bottom six clubs potentially overspending in the chase of a top six place and things like that. So then obviously then a couple of weeks later for those deals to come about is maybe why there was more media coverage on that rather than the Killy one. But I think across the whole league, I think it's definitely really positive to see home attendances increasing as well. You've just mentioned it there that there was no loss of income because of the reducing either Celtic and Rangers just to one stand. You know, that's obviously been made up by, you know, home fans filling in. We've had an increase of season tickets coming into this season. I think it's just positive across the whole league that there is a demand to go and see Scottish football and your local club as well. I think it can only just be a good thing for the rest of the league.
Absolutely. And I think Kelly might surpass 5,000 season ticket holders again this season. Last year, we hit 5,000 for the first time since the late 1990s. And we're well over 4,500 already. So, I mean, who knows where it'll be come the weekend or even just after. So, the more people we can get into grounds, you know, the better. And for yourself at Ross County, I mean, you said from the playoff you're starting to see a bit of an upturn, so that's great to hear. And that's one of the things, like, at Ross County with the Global Energy Stadium, with the tight, compact ground, if you can get that filled, I'm sure you can create a decent atmosphere in it, although we'll probably get to see that, but I'm sure it can be done at Ross County.
I think so too. I think it's you mentioned there, it's a very compact ground, and it's definitely... It's good. I mean, sitting in the jail end, it feels like that. But no, look, it's good across the league, and it's interesting because obviously Kilmarnock took one step back to go into the Championship, and then two steps forward potentially with the, you know, the increased season tickets and things like that. The success that's been built off that Championship winning season and maintaining the top flight status. So I guess the same for us, you know, going into the playoff last season. Although we didn't want it, it could potentially be a good thing in the long haul if it kind of springboards teams to success in the future.
Probably a chance as well to build and give longer contracts to players as well. They want to keep established ourselves as well again. Liam, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, I just wanted to go back in regards to Tony Docherty. I just wanted to say that he's definitely made us more solid at the back in these pre-season games, but the worrying thing is scoring goals for me. We're creating a lot of chances, but we just don't really seem to have someone that's putting them away. Apart from Zach Robinson.
I suppose, though, in terms of, like, you can often say, like, if you're wanting to build a team, you build it from the back. If you don't concede, you're at least going to get a point. So it's maybe not the prettiest to watch, but it's a starting point, and then you can add further forward later on, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing I wanted to ask is, I just wanted to ask Laurie how he thinks Tony Docherty will step up from being an assistant to a manager.
I mean, I think... He's an experienced coach. He's done that for a long time, obviously, for the most part, alongside Derek. But he's one of these kind of coaches who didn't have much of a playing career. So then if you look at really successful managers like Mourinho, who have been like that. I'm not trying to compare them, by the way. But hopefully he does well, and of course takes what he's learned off of, you know, Derek McInnes and co. Because when you think about Derek McInnes' current coaching setup and even his previous one, every single one of them, including the Kelly under 18s manager, have all got some sort of managerial experience. I mean, like Paul Sheeran, of course, had, you know, his time in the dugout, you know, at Falkirk and at Arbroath. So I was kind of expecting him to go alongside Docherty, but I hope Docherty does well. And what you're saying about making you more solid, obviously bringing in the likes of what Joe Shaughnessy and all that should really help you. But in terms of the top end of the pitch, that was absolutely a problem for Kelly last year, so I wouldn't be too surprised if it's a problem for Dundee.
Yeah, that's what I'm just worried about, just obviously looking at Kelly last season. I feel like yous did struggle to score goals, but yous were good at the back, especially at home.
Yep.
That's a concern for me, and I know we're early stages already, but it's something that's playing on my mind a little.
Just wait till one of yous are signed Sam Cosgrove on loan. It's surely got to happen.
Sam Cosgrove's the way back to Birmingham. I'm sure that's seen.
To do what? Train with an under 23?
No, I watched a video the day he signed there for Plymouth. Cheers.
That's a shame. I would have taken Cosgrove. Perhaps a controversial opinion, but I would have taken him at Kelly.
I definitely would have taken him as well.
Was he not a Birmingham player anyway, and then he was on loan to Plymouth? No,
I would have taken him, but we can't afford him. So don't know if he's. Yeah, we've got issues with our budget this year. So
yeah, he was.
That. No, you would not at all.
I know he was on loan at Plymouth last year, so he is a Birmingham player. It's a case I don't think he'll have a future there. So.
We don't need him.
No, I mean, can what about Jordan White? Can we have him?
Jordan's our top scorer last season. He's, I want to say, not vice captain, but Malky's given him a leadership role this season. So he's been great for us. I'm a big fan of Jordan White. I know he gets a lot of stick from opposition fans and also some county fans as well, just because of the type of striker he is. But I, to be perfectly honest, in the team that we've got right now, I would take White over Cosgrove.
Ross, me and you are part of the Jordan White fan club. We've had you on the podcast before, the club of two that appreciate the merits of Jordan White. He was, when he was with us in the championship, I mean, it was a team that ended up going down, but I think his goal record for us was 1 every 3, and it was one of the worst Livingston teams I've ever seen. So, you know, I don't think Jordan gets the credit he deserves for what he does off the ball. I also think he's improved massively as a player, even since he was with us at County, in terms of his link-up and kind of bringing guys into play as well.
I think he was very unlucky at Motherwell as well when we had him. I mean, I don't think he ever really got a run of games to kind of find his feet at Motherwell. But if you play his strengths, he's somebody that can definitely offer you something.
Yeah, definitely. He's been great for us. Best subscription to the Jordan White fan club. It's the best subscription I've got. Well worth it.
Yeah. Kelly, I might join it. For this week.
Stephen Knight, you wanted to come in before that anyway, before that appointment, didn't you?
I just had my hands raised because I heard the teams talking about spending money. You see Doss County spending money. Hibs have spent money the day on Dylan Brittany for Rhoda and Holland. So it's something that's a bit concerning as a Motherwell fan. We have had to renovate the John Hunter stand again and push it back, which has cost us more money after having to do it last season. It's just a bit worrying seeing all these clubs spending money. I came into this podcast a wee bit optimistic because of your results. But since hearing how optimistic everybody else is, I think some of my predictions for the video that I'm going to release this week might be changing.
It's all right, Stephen. I'll bring you back. I'll bring your spirits back up shortly.
That ties us in. It's obviously that was scripted, but we'll bring you in terms of kind of signing so far. So, I mean, we talked earlier on about injury and strikers. You probably kind of signed on luckiest guy in Scottish football over the last few years, Michael Devlin, and a guy that's like always injured. I mean, surely that's not going to work on an Astro surface.
I would argue, you know, for example, Laurie will know of him, Scott Robinson, who was with us for 4 years. I think when we signed him, he'd had a lot of injury problems. He dropped down to East Fife and was playing part-time because he'd been waiting 2 years for a groin operation. We put him through that and he played over 120 games for Livy over 4 years. And that was purely because of how Davey managed him. And so, Mikey Devlin, you know, I think it wasn't that long ago he was getting called up by Steve Clark for Scotland. There is a good footballer in there in Mikey Devlin, and I think defensively we weren't good enough last year. We went away from what we have been in previous seasons, the classic tag, hard to beat, difficult to play against. We certainly lost that tag last year. It was our highest goals conceded since being back in the top flight. So I think it was an area that needed addressed. I think we've been cautious with signing Mikey Devlin. It's a 3-year deal, but it's 1 year, X amount of appearances trigger the next year. So I think we've been cautious in how we've approached these deals. But if we can get him on the pitch, I think he could make a massive difference for us. The fact that Davey's given him the armband already kind of suggests the impact he's made in the dressing room, and certainly from the games I've been at this season and that he's featured in. He's very vocal. Again, you can see why he was on the cusp of Scotland squad at one point. So if we can get him on the pitch, I think he could be a huge signing for us.
I would say if you keep him fit, he's one of the signings of the season. As you mentioned, see at Aberdeen when he first signed for us, it was round about the time McKenna was kind of breaking through as well. A lot of folk would add Devlin rated higher than what McKenna was. So it's just a case of keep him fit because he's really good in the ball, reads the game really well. a kind of think as well. You said about kind of captaincy, he comes across well, nice guy, good guy. So I think you maybe kind of you could win a watch there. And then you mentioned there are signings as well. Was it a couple of defenders, isn't there?
Yeah, Michael Nottingham came in the other week. He signed from Accrington Stanley. Absolute unit of a guy. And I think I was speaking to Davey Martindale the day for our podcast, and that was a big thing that Davey was talking about, is, as I say, kind of losing that. We became a bit of a soft touch second half of last season, and he signed the likes of Devlin. He signed the likes of Nottingham, who's big and physical, and he signed Mo Sangare as well, also happens to come from Accrington Stanley, but he said that he's a kind of direct replacement for Omiyonga, but you wouldn't compare them to each other if you just looked at the two of them, because Mo Sangare's like 6 foot, big unit in the middle of the park, and kind of the flashes I've seen from him, he looks pretty promising as well. So yeah, there's quiet kind of optimism with a few of the signings. There's a couple that you don't really know what to expect, like Miles Welsh Hayes, the other one who's signed as a right back, but I think he's more deemed a kind of backup to the likes of Jamie Brandon, who's probably going to play a lot more games this season due to Nicky Devlin obviously moving to your team, John. So yeah, I think some of the signings have been decent. I think Davey's still looking for kind of players in the final third. We're waiting on a work permit for a young kind of South African boy, Afolele Teto, who Davey was bigging up massively today when I was chatting to him. So he's 20 years old, so I don't think he's going to be one to kind of come in straight away and make the difference. I think he's probably more of a project, but certainly the way Davey was talking about him, he seems like a very exciting signing. So yeah, I think there's kind of, I wouldn't say cautious optimism in terms of what we've brought in, because I think we are trying to address areas of the park that needed addressed last season.
Aye, maybe the biggest thing as well will be keeping Nubly.
Yeah, Nubly, keep a hold of Nubly. The difference with Nubly is Nubly's 28 in terms of a club coming in and paying a big fee for him. They're not probably going to get that investment back in terms of a sell-on further down the line. So Nubs has signed up for another year. I know there was an offer from a club in Georgia for Bruce Anderson, which we'd accepted. I think it was probably a couple hundred thousand, but a boy for Banff, I think he would struggle to settle in Georgia, to be honest. Don't think it would suit the lifestyle. So yeah, Bruce again's got a year on his deal. If he scores double figures this year, he gets a better move than that. So yeah, keeping those guys will be pretty important. Nubly's second half of last season kind of tailed off massively in comparison to his first half of the season, and so we kind of need that 12-month spell we had from Nubs when he came back from Arbroath to the winter break last year. That's the Nubly that we need, and if we do get that player, he's borderline unplayable at times.
Right, probably the speculation transfer-wise never helped him, I think.
Yeah, I think it's part and parcel, and you know, he's obviously been linked with a few clubs, and rightly so, but you know, if I compare somebody that's moved on for big money from us in recent years to Lyndon Dykes, he's nowhere near the kind of article that Dykes was when he left us. After watching Dykes for 2 months, I knew he was going to move on for at least a couple of million pounds, which is what happened. You could see it so early doors with Lyndon. Whilst with Nubly, as important as he is to us in terms of how we play and you know getting us up the park, you know, I wouldn't say his numbers kind of reflect a forward player that you would want to go and pay, you know, the figures that Davies maybe quoted in terms of what would be a suitable offer. I can't see many clubs coming in and paying that sort of money for Nubly. So I think he'll probably be there for the season.
Aye. Laurie, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, so first of all, Joe Nubly, and I'm including the spell out of Broth here because Kelly won the championship at the time. Joe Nubly was the reason why they were chasing us and ahead of us for a lot of that season. It was fantastic news when you brought him back, albeit it didn't really stop our growth. I mean, it took us to the second last day of the season for us to win the league and finally kind of topple our growth, as it were. But back on to Livy, I mean, by Livy's standards last year, you seemed kind of soft, that's what comes to mind. And that's not a word I would associate with a Livingston team, especially not a David Martindale Livingston team. seemed a bit kind of soft into the news then about the worst defensive records for a while, and it's just something that didn't click last year. How are you, do you think that will change with Devlin coming in, or do you not?
Laurie, that's exactly the words that the gaffer used today when talking about last season, and it was soft, you know, set plays and things like that. We, you know, I wouldn't listen to pundits when they talk about us being fantastic at set plays. I think if you go and look at the stats for the last three or four seasons, we're one of the worst teams defensively for them. You know, just to completely counteract the usual pundit thing of good at set plays, you know. Last year was our worst defensive record since being up. It was also our worst goal scored. And there was games in particular, you know, use St Mirren away, for example, Motherwell away. Stephen, I'm sure you were probably at that when we lost 3-0. You know, those games in particular, going to Pittodrie, granted we played, you know, just under an hour with 10 men, but we capitulated there. We capitulated at Easter Road, got an absolute doing. And it's not like us to concede fives and fours and threes in games. It's very unlike us. I think the season before, I think three times we conceded three goals in a game. You know, it kind of just shows you the difference in the defensive record. But certainly looking at us in pre-season so far, Davey's going to a back three this year. He's playing like a 3-4-2-1. And the main reason for that is to make us more solid. And in the nine games we've played so far, taking pre-season and the cup games into account, we've conceded two goals in nine. So there is a significant improvement. Granted, you know, we're playing lower division opposition. One of the friendlies was against Rangers behind closed doors and kept a clean sheet over there. So there are positives. You can see that there has been a lot of work done on the training pitch. And hopefully, that was my biggest concern, was defensively. And I think Davey's certainly made strides to try and correct that for this year.
Sorry, Laurie. Would you say that? Laurie, did you say that? Sorry, I missed it.
Well, no, I was just saying it's encouraging to hear that Libby have, you know, seemed to have made that bit of progress, especially considering, am I right in saying Libby are now a coaching position down? The Crystal better not move on? Did he even get replaced?
No, so Davey's not replaced him. Basically, it was a way of saving 30, 35 grand off our budget. And Davey, the last couple of seasons since he took the manager's job, he had Marvin Bartley in as his assistant, his kind of first full season, but he also brought in Dougie Imrie as a first team coach. Then Dougie went on to Greenock Morton, and he brought in Neil Hastings kind of to replace him. Marv obviously left, Neil Hastings got promoted to assistant, and he brought in Christoph Berra. But I think the way Davey's trying to counteract that this year, he's got a kind of senior leadership group in the dressing room, like Mikey Devlin, Sean Kelly, Io Bali, Jason Hall, Andrew Shinney. He's wanting the players to kind of take more of a kind of initiative in the dressing room. And I think that's the way he's trying to counteract the fact he's maybe a coach down. And he did say he's trying to take a little bit more of a backseat in terms of the running of the dressing room. And that's kind of his tactic for that this year, is this kind of senior leadership model that he's gone with.
All right. Good luck to him.
Stephen, I think you want to come in as well.
Yeah, it's just that he's up talking about Mikey Devlin there, and you and you were saying about getting him fit. Do you think that Livingston is then the right move for him, considering that he's playing on Astro every second week?
I mean, I'm pretty sure Mikey wouldn't have signed a contract if he wasn't capable of being able to play on the surface, or he didn't think he would be able to. It would have been pretty nonsensical, and I'm sure he was well aware of what he was getting into when he signed the contract, albeit look back a couple of years ago when we signed Anthony Stokes, and that was the reason that was given after 2 weeks for the reason he left, was because we were on an artificial pitch. But there's probably more to that story, which I'm well aware of. But yeah, I mean, as I say, with Mikey Devlin, it's a concern, and that's the big thing with pretty much every Livingston fan when they've been speaking about signing Devlin, is on paper, very good signing if you can get him on the pitch and play. And I think the whole Astro pitch thing, I think, is kind of overhyped, personally. I have to say, I think it's very much overhyped. I think if you actually go and look at the statistics for injuries on the surface compared to grass, there's barely a there is barely a difference in terms of it. And yeah, I think it's overhyped a little bit. I think it's used as a get out of jail.
Do you think it's one of football's myths?
I think it's one of football's myths. Because if you look at it, we train on it every day. Surely we'd have the worst injury rate in the country. But then you look at Hearts. Look at the amount of serious knee injuries Hearts have got, and they play on state-of-the-art grass pitches at Orium. You know, I think it is a big myth. Because as I say, we should surely have players doing their ACL every other week, going by the way what fans talk about the artificial surfaces.
It's a good point. Good point.
My comment at the start was just flipping, by the way, because obviously that gets accused at Libby and Kelly. I'm going to come back quickly to Laurie because I never actually asked you before I move on to that subject, and I'll ask you Ewan after that. Laurie, anyone else you would like to strengthen the squad for Kelly?
Well, for Kelly in terms of strengthening, I would just say obviously up front we still need someone because Kyle Vassell's been great since he came in and has recently been appointed captain, but he's carrying like a long-term injury and he's one of the ones where he'll play through the injury, but we need a striker. Derek McInnes has been on record saying he's hoping to get a striker in him, but by the time we play Rangers on Saturday, so we'll see about that. But in terms of our positions, I still feel like we need, you know, proper fullback cover, particularly on the right hand side. Depends on what to use Mayo, of course. If you're a squad number geek, you might have noticed that Mayo has been given number 5 this season from Kelly. Last year he was number 2. Number 2 still sitting empty, so maybe we're looking at right back, who knows? And you could argue about midfield, but the midfield's not too bad. And obviously, I mean, midfield wise, we've got a gem of a youngster coming through, David Watson, who kind of broke through towards the end of last season. I mean, Alan, you particularly might remember, I mean, his first start, it was his first start against you or against Hearts. He had an absolute cracking game, and it just brilliant, and he's been a mainstay in the team since about, you know, March last year, and he's been given, again, I'm not trying to use shot numbers as being overly significant, he's been given the number 12 shot at the age of 18, and you know, number 12 is not the most significant numbers, but you know, he was wearing 34 last season, and he's somebody who, from watching him, I'm surprised he's not been, you know, part of Scotland youth setups. We've had like the likes of Bobby Wales in there, who's a young striker, but David Watson hasn't been in there. I don't know if any of you guys have seen much of him.
A bit of him towards the end of the last season, and he looked good. Looked a player, definitely.
And obviously, did he get sent off against us in that 1-0 game, Laurie, towards the end of last season? I think, is that right?
In the 1-0, he did, yes. In the game before that, where the blatant handball from Constantine was missed, he was superb. So
you need to let that go, mate. You need to let it go.
Stephen, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, it's just I thought, well, Laurie mentioned David Watson, but a good time for me to hop in. How it's good to see players like him and Lennon Miller getting in at Motherwell as well. David Watson, when I've seen him, is somebody that's really impressed me. He's done really well, as Laurie said, getting the number 12 shot. But Lennon Miller, this season, only 16 years of age, by the way, guys, and he's come in, he's got 2 goals already in the League Cup campaign. But I think, whilst there is this air of excitement around him, I think the Motherwell fans, myself and Cody, we kind of need to kind of temper that a wee bit, because he is only 16. I think when players are young and they're that good, they tend to burst on the scene, but there's always that opportunity for the wee bit or the chance for them to be a wee bit of dip in form. But certainly someone that we can use to learn off of Max Johnson, who I mentioned earlier, and get him tied down on a contract.
He's definitely impressed pre-season, but he's got good people behind him as well, obviously. His dad, it's pro. Emailer, so I'm sure he'll be well looked after.
Oh yeah, I agree.
But we'll come on to youngsters as well in a wee bit. But Ewan, before we move on to that kind of subject, anywhere you would still like to see the club strengthened in particular?
I think we desperately need another striker in. I believe we were in for Rory Payton, who was at Queen of the South last year and ended up signing for Queen's Park, and I think that dare I say it, I think that came down to the money that we were offering them compared to what Queen's Park were. But yeah, I think we desperately need somebody to push Bruce a little bit more. Last couple of seasons, Bruce has pretty much been our only really kind of number nine. Nubly's kind of filled in there, but I have to say Nubly's by far and away more effective when he's out in the wide areas compared to when he plays through the middle. So I think we desperately need a kind of option to, as I say, more to push Bruce a little bit as well, because I think competition would be good for him, to be honest. And I have to say I would really like to see us getting another centre forward. Curtis Guthrie's there just now, and he's certainly, I think Marmite would be a compliment on what Livingston fans think of Curtis Guthrie, to be honest. He very much splits opinion on the fan base, and especially after an interview he did away at St Mirren last year where he was short of blowing hubba bubba bubbles when he was doing the interview, and I think he used the term "it is what it is" after losing 3-0 and being 3-0 down at half time. So yeah, he lost the fans on that one. So yeah, but to kind of go back to it, we definitely need to look at getting another kind of genuine option as a number nine, I think, to push Bruce.
This is just a kind of quick one that I'll get from you all. When, as I said at the start, we'll review this mid-season. So I'll start with Stephen. Prediction for where Motherwell will finish in the league this season?
Ooh, I mean, if the two strikers that we get in are decent, I think we have potential to be top six. But as I look at it right now, and this is me being optimistic as of where we sit right now, I'm going to go ninth.
Ninth? Right, okay. You just thinking that at mid-season you can go stick a twist and then go higher, is that what you're thinking?
I'm just looking at the striking options that we have at the minute. It's Connor Wilkinson's had his injury worries, and John Obika is not going to get you a lot of goals. I mean, Slattery, Spittle and Miller will provide goals from midfield. And towards the second half of last season, we were quite solid defensively. So there could be a lot of 1-0 wins in as the squad stands, but I still think we're a couple of strikers short in terms of goals.
Okay, no worries. Ewan, what about yourself, Livingston? Where do you think? I noticed that, I mean, going by the last few seasons, 10th should be where you finish, because you've been 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. No, wait a minute. 9th, sorry, you can finish.
Yeah, 9th, 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th. So, yeah, I don't know what to expect. Was I do think this season's going to be our season where we're in a bit of more of a dogfight for certain for longer periods of the season. I think it's going to be, I really don't know what to expect with Dundee, but being the newly promoted side, you'd maybe expect them to get potentially dragged into that. I think County, I think St Johnstone, I think Motherwell are all possibilities to struggle this season. So I'll go ninth.
Is this going to be like last season when 8th was the coveted spot, yeah, wasn't it? Now, Alan, I remember Nori was on last year on the pre-season podcast. I think he was the first person ever to predict that a team would finish 12th.
I think Nori predicted they finished 10th in League 2. I think he was that.
That was last season.
So, what are you thinking currently, is it?
Well, obviously, I've been pretty pessimistic all evening, but I'll change that. I'll go for an optimistic 10th. Now, 10th doesn't sound particularly optimistic, but I'll go with an optimistic 10th. I think we're in a bad way there now, but with another month of transfer window to go, I think McLean still needs to put his stamp on the team a bit. It'll definitely be a struggle. I agree with you entirely. I think there's a lot of teams, you know, pretty evenly matched, and I think we're all kind of be battling against each other. So I'll just go 10th. McLean will sort it out and we'll survive. And I think we can survive this season and then have another decent transfer window next season. Hopefully we're a wee bit back on track in terms of squad building. I think as well, point to make is there's always a team you probably don't expect to struggle that do struggle. I mean, like Dundee United last season, certainly didn't expect them to finish bottom. I mean, I was quite pleased, I'm sure Liam was as well, to see them finish bottom, but that was kind of out of the blue. So I don't know, I've a wee gut feeling St Mirren might not do as well this season. So I'm kind of hoping they really fall away and they're involved as well. And we've just got enough to stay up.
Hey, okay, cheers, Alan. Laurie, what about yourself, Chip Kelly?
Well, it's kind of difficult. I kind of want to be optimistic. Do I put it in the top six? Do I put my neck on the line? You know what? I'm going to do it. 6th place. We're going to get that kind of probably only free spot in the top six, and it feels like I want us to push on and do it. You know,
aye.
Am I being overly optimistic, guys?
I think Killie are the dark horse this year, and I think they'll push on top six for certain. I think the business they've done on paper looks very, very good, very solid.
I think as well, the fact that you have brought in Stuart Finlay, you know what you're getting. Robbie Deeds, your home form was good last season. You just need to improve their away form, and if you do that, then there's every chance that you could be top six here.
Yeah, I mean, if our away form last year was diabolical, let's make no bones about it. But I mean, if we can have half as good away form as we had at home last season, assuming we keep decent home form, we should be okay. And I mean, if our away form is half as good as this away strip that you guys can see, I mean, the penicillin-inspired away strip, we're going to be in business.
I mean, in terms of predictions, I've made a few for the start of the season. I've got Kelly as their team to break in at the sixth place, based on their signing so far. Ross, you're usually optimistic.
Yes, I do. I remember, I think I predicted us for a top six place last season. And as the season went on, and especially during the playoff, I started to get a little bit shaky. I'll put it that way. I was like, oh no, here we go.
Let me see what I've got here. Yeah, you predicted Ross County last season would finish sixth.
And then I'm pretty sure I didn't bat down. I doubled down when we did the January one as well.
By the way, I think everyone mispredicted Ross County. I think everyone had Ross County pushing a lot higher than they ended up finishing last year, if I remember correctly.
I think so too. So I think, yeah, I definitely feel optimistic for the season. I think there is such fine margins between the bottom six and that last top six place out with the kind of the big five teams. My gut feeling is now I think we'll be around eighth or seventh, but if we do get another couple of bodies in, I think there is the potential to push for a top six place or be in the mix at least. But I'll be optimistic. I'll go seventh. I'll just go best of the rest. And then, yeah, when we're flying high in third and in January, I'll be looking down and everyone just loving it. I'll be like, well, that's what I get for being a little bit realistic this time. So
the media will love that, won't they? Right, Liam Wooden D, what are you thinking?
So I'm going to be a bit optimistic and say either 8th or 9th, but I would bite your hand off right now for 10th. I do think there is teams in a lot worse position than us, like your Livingstons and your St Johnstons. And I hope we can capitalise on that, take points off of them, and we'll be all right this season.
Right, okay, what are you going for then? What are you going for the nailed on prediction?
I'll go 9th.
Ninth. Right, all right. So 9th is the place to finish this year. So I think a couple of you kind of mentioned about this kind of top five thing. The interesting thing is, see if we were talking about managers that are probably under threat at the start of the season, and maybe kind of from social media and the likes, the two that are probably under the most pressure, when you look at it, are Johnson and Naismith stroke McAvoy. I mean, are Hibs and Hearts going to be great, do you think? Is there maybe room for maybe one or two teams to kind of move in there?
Granted with Hibs, obviously the result the other night was an absolute shocker, but I've no doubt that they'll comfortably win the game at Easter Road. But if you look at their signings on paper, they've just spent close to $900,000 on a striker that scored 44 goals in the last couple of seasons. Dylan Levitt's a very Hibs type of player, in my opinion, that they've brought in, keeping Eli Yuan. You know, I think Hibs have recruited well enough that they should still finish in that top five. I think Lee Johnson will be gone though come October. I can't. Hibs fans are really turning on him. I don't think Hibs fans have ever properly taken to him either. Some of the comments that he comes out with are just utterly, utterly bizarre. And then the heart situation, Christ only knows how that's going to play out. It has mess written all over it. As you say, that interview you were talking about on Sky Sports was just, it was a disaster. And I think they are probably going to be the first managerial casualties, but I also think they've got squads that are more than good enough to be finishing in the top five.
Liam, you want to come in?
Yeah, I do think it'll be the same top six as last season, apart from St Mirren. I'm going to say, I don't think anyone will agree with me on this one, but I think Motherwell sneak into the top six. I feel Stuart Ketterwell makes his teams very hard to beat. And I think they will bring in a few players before the end of the window.
Interesting. Stephen, you like that? I've seen you smiling there.
I'll take that, but again, that's why I said it, Liam. I think it really depends who we do bring in. We do have the potential to reach that, but it depends who we bring in. If I can just touch on what you were saying about the Edinburgh clubs, I think if any are likely to struggle with the two, it's going to be Hearts. Now, that may surprise you after the Hibs result last week, but I know all too well what it's like to be beat off a team that you shouldn't be and beat off in Europe. So I think they will turn that round on Thursday night. And as I say, the boy that they brought in for Holland, Venti, he looks a player. I think they'll be all right.
Okay. I don't know whether it was Ross or Laurie that was first, but just I'll go to Ross first because you're in there. Line of sight.
Thank you very much. I think it's going to be really interesting. Like, I agree with you, and I think Dylan Levitt is a very like Hibs signing, but do they get that kind of balance right in midfield? Because I think they are very good technically in there, but am I right in saying that probably Jago's the only one that you would class as kind of like a destroyer in there, someone that's going to kind of break up the play, or that's kind of part of their natural play. Everyone else is very good technically, so they might be very good on the ball, but it's what they'll be like out of possession, which will be quite interesting to see. Plus, you know, the money that they spent adding back in Martin Boyle as well as coming back from injury, that's just going to be another, you know, feather in their cap going forward. So, like, both Edinburgh clubs should have enough. I mean, the Hearts situation is going to be really interesting. It almost reminds me a little bit of when Robbie Nielsen was first in charge and Craig Levein was like sporting director or director of football, whatever the title was, and he'd have someone sat next to him, kind of sending Nielsen notes down in the dugout with what he was spotting and things like that. So it kind of has a kind of similar vibe to that, I would say. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of goes. But the top five clubs should have more than enough to be in that top six. It would take something quite spectacular for them to fall away and drop out of that, I think. Well, yeah. the three below the old firm, put it that way. The big two aren't going to do that. That would be colossal if they dropped out of the top six.
And little old Livingston with no budget go on to win the Premiership.
I mean, I suppose in that point, Ross, it only goes to show last year Aberdeen in terms of the January that we had, and all looked disastrous, and yet we managed to somehow finish third. So even like a disastrous month or two can not make much difference. Laurie, I think you were that step wanted to come in.
Yeah, so just I kind of, it may be controversial, but I totally agree with Stephen. I think Hearts are going to be the Edinburgh club that they're going to struggle. I mean, Hibs could be a bit of a almost pantomime as well this season. I mean, Lee Johnson is by far the most entertaining manager in the SPFL and Premiership to listen to. As you have said, some of the comments are hilarious, but I've got a feeling Hearts will be even more messy, and just I don't imagine it'll be like as bad as the season and cut short by COVID where Hearts go down or anything, but I can see them just not doing very well at all, and then the whole Naismith McAvoy experiment just falling flat on its face, but time will tell.
We'd like to hear it. Alan, you want to come?
I have just a slightly different point generally about the top five, if you like. I think they should be the top five, and they certainly look well established as the top five, but I mean, I don't have the figures to hand, but historically over the last 20, 30 years, how often has that actually been the top five? I don't think it always works like that. There tends to be a team that struggles each season. Last season, that didn't happen. Well, you touched on it there, John, that, you know, Aberdeen did struggle at times and ended up finishing third, and you're maybe a wee bit perplexed by that come the end. So there's always, I think Hearts, I'd agree with the guys, are maybe the obvious ones because of their their management structure or whatever, but it's not always the case that, you know, the biggest five teams finish the top. Obviously, the top two will be the top two, but often a team will struggle. And, you know, we finished top six. Seems like a distant memory now, but I think seven out of the last 14 seasons. So there often is room for another team to emerge and take advantage of that. So, you know, I don't think it's guaranteed that'll be the top five at all. I think that if it was that predictable, you know, we probably wouldn't bother, because it's, you know, what's the point then?
Aye, well, I mean, I took a small sample size earlier looking at it in terms of the clubs on this podcast tonight. So, Motherwell in the last four seasons have finished third and fifth. Livy have finished fifth. St Johnstone, obviously, yourself, finished fifth and sixth. Laurie, not in the last 4 years, but obviously prior to that when Clark was there, successful there. Ross County finished sixth. And then Dundee, as you mentioned earlier, Liam have been a bit of a kind of yo-yo club. So you might be the exception, but aye, there's no real there's no reason that other clubs won't break into that top five. Any of you think Aberdeen will struggle? Just very quickly, just because I mentioned the Edinburgh clubs because they seem to be the ones that are getting maybe spoken about more in terms of under pressure. But
no, I think Aberdeen will be fine, and I must say that having somebody like Alan Burrows there, somebody that I know well, his time at Motherwell, you'll be loving how much he's communicating with the fans online. I mean, that's something that I think we've really missed, and you'll see a lot of it on Twitter. You know, there's a lot of pant letters within the Motherwell support online. The fact that everything's a wee bit quiet now, and yeah, it's concerning because we've had not just Alan Burrows leave, but the groundsman Paul Matthew as well, so who has got that pitch, one of the best in Scotland. But I think to go back to Aberdeen, Graham Shinney, I think, is a great acquisition. Getting him on a permanent, fantastic. You know what you're getting with him. And no, I think he'll be absolutely fine. It'll be interesting to see how you start, though, because you do have European football up until December, at least.
I think, John, I listened to the other podcast. There's a little, quite a bit of concern defensively, how you're looking at the moment. I think, was it Aaron that's on the other podcast, was quite concerned about that, I think, when I listened to it.
Yeah, I was literally about to kind of chime in on that as well, Alan. I think maybe defensively, granted, I think the big turning point for Aberdeen last year was the McDonald and Pollock signings. I think they were exactly what Aberdeen were missing, which was just two absolute no-nonsense centre-halves that just kicked and headed everything that came at them. And obviously, you've managed to keep hold of McDonald, who I think Aaron had mentioned was injured. Obviously losing Pollock, so I think you're probably still maybe one, two kind of defensively away from being a right good side.
Aye, I mean, I touched a wee bit on it last week. Aaron kind of disagreed a wee bit, but I think even before McDonald was injured, and then we brought in Reece Williams from Liverpool, who's injured supposedly already, there's no report as to how long he's out for. But I think even before that, we needed the minimum of two centre-backs, especially with Robson playing three at the back. I don't think he's going to change from that. I reckon probably what's happened, and we've been hit by this in the past, obviously I think we want Liam Scales back, that's been pretty open. Celtic are keeping a hold of him just now, which is their right to do so, because they've got their own injuries in defence. So have we maybe kind of waited too long to get our defence sorted? I think, like a few of us have said earlier, you want most of your team settled for the start of the season, especially defensively. This evening we've signed the Serbian centre-back Rubizic, who looks like he could be another kind of good signing from Eastern Europe. But yeah, I'd still want to get another one in. And I would think he's going to play on Saturday, probably. But then how well do you know his teammates? He started like the last two games back, the McKenzie, Devlin and Milne. McKenzie and Devlin are obviously both more natural fullbacks.
I'm just hoping Nicky's feeling in generous mood and he really enjoyed his time at Livy on Saturday, to be honest.
And then Jack Milne is kind of young centre back as well. So, I'd be worried defensively. I think, though, going forward, we should be all right in terms of kind of goals galore. But, right, okay, again, another kind of quick one. And this is for your own club as opposed to the league. Laurie, who do you think will become our top scorer? Now, this is a difficult one again because we're still about a month before the transfer window closes. And you never know, sometimes you get a player that comes in January and finishes top scorer. Who do you think, Laurie?
I'm going to go for Kyle Vassell. As much as I said earlier on the podcast that he's had or has his injury issues, I reckon it will be Kyle Vassell. He'll probably get into double figures, but It'll probably be low double figures. I mean, at this, I mean, down in the Premiership bottom six, sometimes that's what you get from your strikers. It sounds pessimistic, but we'll see. But I'll go for big Vass.
Okay, Liam.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Zach Robinson. He scored 12 goals last season in the league for Dundee. He wasn't our top scorer, actually. It was Lyle Cameron. But, yeah, I think he'll be top scorer this season just because he'll be the focal point in the forward line.
Okay, no worries. Alan, what about yourself? What do you think? Johnson.
I'll just go for Luke Jeffcott. Be a bit optimistic he'll come in and he's got quite a decent scoring record. I don't think he's fully fit now, but once he gets fit, hopefully he'll get amongst the goals. But I don't imagine there'll be, if he gets double figures, I'll be delighted, to be honest. I think we'll share the goals about, probably. But I'll go for him.
Okay, no worries. Stephen at Motherwell.
One of the groundsmen, and I'm trying to be serious for a minute. I'm hoping Wilkinson, that's about that he can hit the ground running, but I'll say it again, we need more in.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, Ross, I mean, it's a difficult one for you with all these goals that are happening pre-season and all these great strikers. Who are you going for?
My gut feeling tells me Brophy. I mean, obviously, Simon Murray's gone off to a flying start in the League Cup, so if you can carry that on into the league, then that only bodes well. Jordan White hit double figures last season. He'll be in the mix as well. And look, if the strikers that we've got, Brophy, Murray, White, Alex Samuel, can chip in with, you know, even if they get 9 or 10 goals each, or as something along those lines, you know, that only bodes well, and it's good to have those options. But my gut feeling tells me Brophy will be finished top scorer.
Okay, worries. And then Ewan,
it won't be a penalty taker. That's an absolute certainty. But I think it's pretty nailed on. Bruce Anderson's been a top goal scorer and then joint top goal scorer last year. So I think Bruce again. I think Stephen Kelly could push him. He got 5 goals last year. He's already got a couple in the League Cup, and Bruce is already on 3 for the season in the League Cup. So I think, yeah, Bruce pushed on by Stephen Kelly.
Right, okay, Steve, this is the next one. Stephen, you mentioned earlier about Youngstar and the fact that Lennon Miller's going to be on the breakout season for yourself. I know it's a few others have been playing pre-season for you as well, so that could be optimistic things there.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's something that Motherwell have always done well. It's had a good youth set up. And listen, I think us as Motherwell fans, we're well aware that these guys are going to eventually move on, but it's about us maximising what we get out of them while they're there. And to see people like Lennon Miller and Mark Ferry coming through, it is encouraging. But you want there to be options around these guys, because you don't want to be putting too much pressure on them at such a young age. I mean, I don't think Lennon Miller's too shy of playing under pressure. He seems to have really hit the ground running. But particularly Ferry, I don't think we can put the onus on him to be the one to bag his double figures for the season. Maybe if we do get more options in, then he could maybe go out on loan and come back. But no, it's something that we've always done well as a club, and I think it's something that clubs of similar size can look to learn from.
Yeah, it's something definitely the league struggled with overall last year in terms of players under 21 getting regular minutes. So hopefully it changes this season. You and yourself at Livy, anyone that could kind of break through in terms of young talent that maybe we're not aware of? Or...
Yeah, it's kind of more difficult to predict with us in terms of our youth setup's only really been brought back in the last couple of years, but it was really encouraging in a couple of the pre-season games, and the game against Brechin, young lad Caelan Ledingham, centre-back, came on, 16 years old. I think he's our youngest player since Matthew Knox when we last had a kind of youth setup in place. So that was really encouraging as a fan to see that, you know, there are kids able to kind of make that step up, but I can't imagine they're going to make a massive impact in terms of the first team. The kind of young players involved in our current first team squad, I mentioned the young South African boy, Afilele Teto, who Davies bigged up. He could be a potential one. But Stephen Bradley was very good when he came in last year, I thought, in January from Hibs. He's carrying a little knock just now, so he's not featured in the last couple of games. But I'd expect after getting a run of games at kind of second half of last season, he could impress, and Stephen Kelly's the one I'm really looking forward to watching again this year, to the point that we've decided to sponsor him on the podcast. So yeah, I think Stephen Kelly's going to have he just about wrapped up every single Player of the Year award at the end of the season, and I think he's going to have another very, very good season.
Right, nice one. Alan, what about yourself? Is it Johnson? Anyone to kind of maybe look out for in particular?
A lot of young players have been forced to play recently because we just don't have enough players. So Alex Ferguson, who was on loan at East Fife last season, did quite well there. He's been playing. Max Kucharahi, who was at Falkirk, did well there. He's been playing. But to be honest, to me, they don't look quite ready for the first team yet. They've kind of been forced into playing. So I'm going to go for another name, which is Ben McChrystal, who's, I think, 18. He came on at Alloa and he scored against Alloa. So rare sort of bright moment of the season, if you like. And he came on Saturday there. I mean, albeit we were 4-0 down, the game's completely done. But, he at least looked interested to try to get on the ball. And he's been talked about quite promisingly. So I think he'll certainly get opportunities from the bench and stuff this season. So I'm hoping he might make an impact.
Yeah. Laurie, obviously, you've spoken about Watson already, but he kind of featured a fair bit last season towards the end. Anyone else you think maybe can have a breakthrough season in terms of kind of young talent?
We do have a couple of good bits of young talent, so hopefully the likes of Bobby Wales or Stephen Warnock make an impact. Of course, you'd argue the 3 W's. Obviously, in journalism, you're always taught about the 5 W's, but perhaps at Kelly, we've got the 3 with David Watson, Bobby Wales, and Stephen Warnock. I mean, of course, Wales being young striker, has played for Scotland at youth level, and Warnock, kind of winger, quite small, kind of height-wise, whatever, but really good technically. Whether he's ready to be in the first team, I don't know, but of course, when it comes to youngsters, for us, and for probably a lot of the league, David Watson's kind of up there, is almost the gold standard or the benchmark of what you want a youngster to be. Maybe someone that you don't expect to break through, but they've came in and they've kept a spot. That's kind of all we can ask.
Aye, let's hope when folk listen to this podcast, they don't think they're 7 W's. Ross, what about yourself at Ross County? Obviously, there was Dylan Smith last season.
I think Dylan's the first one that kind of pops into my head. Obviously, he came into the team towards the end of last season and did really well. Obviously, as like a young player, you're still learning the game and playing at a top level. There was a couple of mistakes in it, but that's expected. You know, you learn from them and make him a better player for the future. I think there's a few players that are kind of like on the cusp, maybe not quite ready to break through at like a Premiership level, but one that I want to mention was like Conal Ewan. He was on loan in the Highland League last season at Forest Mechanics as a 16-year-old at centre half and won their Player of the Year as well. Came back, I think he's done pretty well in pre-season so far, but I think Malky's spoken about with a lot of the young players, they're kind of just keeping them around in the squad to see what loan options become available as the window goes on. And as a centre-half, and as we're a bit light for experienced centre-half just now, I think Connell's just there to help provide a little bit of depth. But I think Josh Reid is probably one that kind of jumps out to me. Obviously, spoke about him before, did really well in the 6 months up here, went down south, didn't quite work. He's come back up to familiar surroundings. He knows the club so well. He's a county fan growing up as well. He went to Dingwall Academy and everything. So, you know, as a local lad, you kind of want someone like that on your team that's kind of going to push on. And, you know, I think it was going to be a good season from Josh. He did well in the couple of preseason games he played before got injured. He's good going forward. So I'll go with Josh.
Nice one. Liam at Dundee, I know there's a few kind of talents there that Ethan's mentioned before. Anyone in particular you kind of think maybe kind of stand out in terms of breakthrough?
We've certainly got a few players that that more broke through last season than this season. We've not really got anyone that's been promoted from the youth ranks to the first team for this summer, but the likes of Lyle Cameron, Josh Mulligan, and I think just judging from what I've seen in pre-season, Owen Beck looks a very good player from Liverpool on loan. He's got a 5-year contract at Liverpool, and Jurgen Klopp's and Trent Alexander-Arnold came out and said how good a talent he is.
Aye, there's a few there. So if you were to pick one, maybe who would you kind of say was the kind of stand out in terms of maybe a breakthrough season?
I'd probably go Lyle Cameron.
He signed a new deal as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, a new 2-year deal, yeah.
Right, okay. I think it was Alan earlier that mentioned about maybe wanting to sign players that other clubs have signed. So I'm going to ask that, and I'll start again with Liam this time. If you were to pick a player from one of the other teams from the guys that are on the podcast tonight, would it be?
So the player I would go for would be Robbie Deas. He was one I think Dundee were linked when Kilmarnock just beat us to the signing, but it was one I really wanted to get in, just a great centre back. Every time I seen him for Inverness, he was very, very good.
Okay. Alan, who would have been the one you would have wanted to steal?
Well, I don't want to copy Liam, but I was going to say Robbie Deas as well. I think we really need a left-sided centre-back, and Robbie Deas strikes me as a, you know, the type of player we should be looking to sign. Like we signed Jamie McCart, he's, you know, same position from the same club, and so he's one of, and he's actually from Kinross, also it's near Perth, so I was kind of hoping that he'd be an obvious fit for us, so I was really disappointed to sign him, so I'd say him as well.
Yeah, okay, no worries. Stephen, who would you have gone for out of the signings that other clubs have made?
Someone that impressed me last season was Kyle Turner. Anytime I've seen him, I think that obviously we brought in Drivkovski, who I don't know much about him. I know he played a lot in Macedonia's under 21s, and he did okay at Limassol, but in terms of people who I've seen play in Scotland, and I think we'd have added to a midfielder, go Kyle Turner.
Are you okay? Ross?
I was going to say Robbie Deas as well, because losing Alex Iacovitti as a left-sided centre-half was going to be a huge blow. But one signing that I saw straight away and thought, oh, I would have quite liked him at County, was Joe Shocknessy. I think Malky spoke about he kind of wants leadership in the back line and kind of like a recruitment. The template he wants is another two Jack Baldwins, essentially. He got that Will Nightingale, and I thought, you know, I think Shocknessy fits that. He was obviously captain at St Mirren for a time. He's captain at Dundee now, from right and saying as well, just in the door. So
yeah, he is captain.
Yeah, it shows that he's a good character off the pitch as well. So that was the signing that I saw, and I thought, well, I would have quite liked that.
Okay, you in over yourself at Livingston?
Well, I know for a fact we were in for Robbie Deas, so that would be an obvious one to say. And like, as you kind of just touched on there, Joe Shaughnessy might have been one as well, but I'm going to be a wee bit more out there. I've talked about, I think we need another forward. Ollie Watkins, going to Kilmarnock, I think he's versatile, can play across the front three. I think he would have been a good addition for us. That type of player is probably the sort of player that we are kind of looking for.
Right, okay. And Laurie, look yourself.
Well, before I actually give who I would sign, it just shows you how good our recruitment appears to have been, that a lot of you are, you know, picking Robbie Deas or Marley Watkins out there. So who I would go for, and granted, we probably don't need this player, but he's somebody who, when I've seen a certain club had signed him, I thought, why didn't we at least win for him? Dre Henderson, I'm just going to say it. Sorry, Ross, but I would have quite liked him. Plus, of course, with his kind of links to Ayrshire, I mean, of course, with his dad managing Holford United, if I'm not mistaken, you'd think he would have fancied Kilmarnock.
I don't think you understand, though, Laurie, because he's played for one of the Highland clubs, he automatically has to play for the other one. So he was only able to go to Ross County.
Yeah, that is a thing that I note, that I do kind of notice, obviously. Like, I mean, Scott Allardyce, obviously, just is the latest example of players that, you know, pass between them. So who knows, maybe one day Jay Henderson to Kelly, I mean, he's still young.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one between the clubs, but it's always been like that. I think whichever team's been in the Premiership or potentially having more success than the other up here has always kind of had the feeder club across the other side of the bridge. So it was the same for us with Cali during the mid-2000s when they were in the Premiership, and the kind of cycles changed, and it might change again in the future. But it's a weird one. But it was nice to get Jay just used to the Highlands the last 6 months at Cali, so he can get ready for the big move over the Kissett Bridge. So,
yeah, I was quite surprised Benin letting go, but their losses your gain. So,
I think his contract expired, so he was wanting to move on to get first team football. So I think they didn't really have a choice, but they were due the development fee, obviously, for him. So,
We'll wrap up pretty soon, but I've got a couple of other wee things, if that's all right. Fantasy football. I don't know whether you'll play fantasy football, but obviously there's a Scottish version these days on Fantasy Football Scotland. We've got a league on there. You just go on the front page under leagues, it's there. And there is a prize for the winner at the end of the season from Supernova Terraceware, who are kindly sponsoring the league again for the third season. So I don't know if any of you play fantasy football or not, but it's worth taking part in. Best kit. We've been running the best kit comp. The home one, Aberdeen won it against Dundee in the final. I know. And the away one is also going to be another Aberdeen and Dundee final. I don't know whether it's just because Aberdeen fans and Dundee fans have got behind it more. Laurie, you made a big effort to try and get Kilmarnock to the final in the home one, but the away one never worked out. So apart from your own team, who drinks the best kit? So Liam, who drinks the best kit in the league, apart from your own team?
As you just said, it was between us and Aberdeen, but I would definitely go for Aberdeen for home kit.
Aberdeen's home kit, yes, right, okay. Alan, what do you think?
Yeah,
the kits that have been released.
No, sure, I've seen all the kits, but I have seen the Aberdeen one. That is quite, I quite like that one, so I'd probably go with that one as well.
The home one,
aye, the home Aberdeen, aye.
Okay, Stephen.
I really like Kelly's home kit this season.
Kelly's home kit, aye. Ross, what about yourself, what do you think?
Dundee's home kit. You can't beat a navy blue home top, to be fair, so we've got that in common.
I feel that's like a bit cheap, but I will let you off.
It is a little bit, aye, but to be fair, I've got to take it. It was the nicest one as soon as I saw it.
No, I would say it was the nicest one as well, to be honest, the home kits. Ewan?
I mean, our away kit is stunning, I must say, and Mikey Devlin looked bloody gorgeous in it as well. He's a handsome, handsome bastard. But I would probably say Hearts third kit, the 150th kind of anniversary one that they've just released. I think that's a superb kit. Honourable mentions, I think Aberdeen's away kit is pretty spectacular, brilliantly modelled by Dave Cormack as well over in the States. I'm not as keen on your home kit though, the gold.
I'm not sure either.
Doesn't sit right with me. And I have to say, Kelly's kit, I think Kelly's home kit's a cracker as well as the kit you're wearing tonight, Laurie.
And what about yourself, Laurie? What do you think? I know you've been watching Lyrica about all Kelly kits. I think you've got every single one.
Yeah, every single one. Well, technically speaking, apart from the third kit, but I got it last year, albeit it had the Browning sponsor on. Now it's James Frew sponsoring us. And I think the colour of it's different. But anyway, on to other teams' kits. Maybe controversial, but I'm going to go for the Aberdeen away kit. Love the kind of Northern Lights idea. A bit of a gimmick, and I suppose the Kelly away kit is as well with the DNA on there. It's a little bit of a gimmick, but I must be somebody that just falls for them. I'm a club marketing team dream.
Just take my money, basically.
Yeah, take my money.
Are you okay? Fair enough. I think we kind of touched on it a wee bit last year, or even last week. Away kit should be bold and different, I think. That's the chance to experiment, whereas the home top, as much as folks say, oh yeah, it's boring, like Celtic running out in green and white hoop, that's what they play in traditionally, and Aberdeen, red and white. I'm not sure in the gold. Maybe we should save that for next year when we win something.
I'm gold, definitely not sure about Motherwell's anyway.
Which one?
The away kit.
Oh, yeah. I think I know what you mean, Steve, and I'm not going to say it. If somebody wants to say it, then yeah.
No, we'll leave that.
Back on the Aberdeen kit, is there actually any white on it at all this year? Or is it just red and gold?
Red and gold?
I mean, it doesn't look bad, but I feel like red and white's Aberdeen's colours. It's almost like if it was a Kelly top with blue and white on it. Like, if it was just one of them, if we just made it white.
I think maybe the hope is some, like, Spain football from, like, when they're winning everything, sucker that period, but we'll see that under Barry Robson for that.
The county away one is... You use the term that away tops are an experiment. That's the way to describe the county one. Personally, I think it's all right. It's different, as you said. Away tops are there to be different, but I know it's received a mixed review. I'll put it that way on social media. So if you haven't seen it, go and have a look.
Aye. But I think that's us probably covered everything. Unless there's anything that you guys want to mention or promote. You and we never got a chance to introduce you properly. Obviously, folk know you, but you can promote a podcast.
Yeah, so Talk Livy on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, all the usual kind of streaming sites, iTunes, Spotify. So, yeah, give us a listen, give us a follow on YouTube as well. So, we've got an interview coming out later this week with Davey Martindale, which is always a very good listen. I would even recommend for opposition fans as well, because Davey can chat for Scotland and he gives you a pretty good insight into the football club. So, I would encourage anyone to get in on that.
Aye. And you were saying earlier, obviously, Ross has been on your podcast as well, so it's good to see the kind of community of podcasters working together.
Podcast friends. There we go.
Podcast friends indeed, aye. And I said you were doing double duty today, you and I, you've done triple duty in terms of podcasts.
Yeah, so was interviewing Davey at 4 o'clock, then was heading through to Glasgow to do open goal, and then was back through to get back in time to do this. So yes, it's been a very podcast heavy Monday, I have to say.
Good start of the week. Everyone's like positive, excited. Like next week, you'll go and talk about football after we beat you. We'll see. Right, okay. Anything else? Or all good?
No, but I've got in touch with Nicky. Nicky's putting an OGN at the weekend. He's getting the Lions off to a flyer this season. So I've had a wee word with Nicholas.
You want to say, okay, no worries. Right, okay, thanks everyone for coming on. Ewan and Ross, good to have you back, and Laurie, obviously. And then Liam, Stephen and Alan, good to have you on for your first appearance. Hopefully you enjoyed it and wanted to return for more in future.
Definitely. Yeah, very much so. Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
Thanks very much, guys.
Right, no worries. Right, cheers, guys, and as is tradition now, happy football.
Pleasure, guys.
Speak to you. See you later.
See you later. Bye. Bye. Bye.